part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 64, part 3, the heavy metal episode.
Heavy metal episode, John.
Yeah, and we're featuring a Chicago act on this episode, this part of episode 64.
And who would that be, John?
They're called Zipperhead. I've known these guys for a long time. And I was cruising around. Actually, I was driving to the gas station today because my lawnmower ran out of gas. And I needed some fuel, some of that $3.24 a gallon fuel. And while I was driving around, I was listening to one of the most popular radio stations in Chicago called The Loop, which isn't really as popular as it used to be, but it's coming back to the days of the old classic rock, but the cooler classic rock, you know, not like the
Crappy here all the time.
Yeah. Anyway, so they got this Monday night show where they play local acts, and they played this band, Zipperhead. They played this song right here.
And how do you know these guys?
I know these guys because years ago I used to play in a band called Exide. And we used to share a studio together, like we have now. And there was three bands in there. And when I stopped playing with Exide, I was playing with another band that featured Marty called Shattered Glass. The three of us, it was an L-shaped room. So in each corner of the room was a band. And we'd play on alternative nights. And Exide played in one corner on certain nights. Shattered Glass played in another corner. And we overlapped on a Sunday with a band called Out of Order. It was a punk band that was really big back in the punk days. And I played, I think, a version of Batman on the show last year that they played. So anyway, the bass player, Mark Kedro, played bass in their band, and I was always a fan of his stuff. He's just unbelievable, really good pick player, and I used to go see him play all the time, jammed with him a couple of times, and then he started playing in a band called Highway Child, and I went to go see them all the time. They were fucking unbelievable. Now, you remember we went to see a band at the Viaduct Theater. Do you remember that?
I remember.
Do you remember we saw the Websters? And then we saw this other band featuring a guy named Steve Gerlacher, I think
right.
His name. And you were making a comment about the bass player being old and you could play better than him. Well, that guitar player used to play in a band called Phantom Helmsman. He went to school, high school, with the guys from Highway Child, the two guitar players. Well, the one guitar player decided to leave the band. He got married, had kids. He left the band. They were a very bluesy kind of band. And the other guitar player, bass player, Mark Kedro, and the drummer formed a band called Zipperhead. And then I didn't see him for a long time. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. I have to verify this because I don't know if it's true. But it says on the website that the bass player served time in a prison for 6 years for gun running and importing Mexicans illegally across the border. It does. It says it on their website.
Yeah, they probably made that up.
Zipperheadrocks.com. Anyway.
In a band, you make stuff up, right?
Yeah, that, I guess so.
Because you don't want to say you've been a musician for the last 6 years.
Without a job. But last year, by complete accident, I think it was last year, I went to see Zach's old band. He was the lead singer in Catheter. You could see him in the Catheter movie, produced, written, and directed by Scott. And I went to see their band play. And when they got done playing, not Zipperhead, when I went to see Zach's friend's band play, when they got done playing, Zipperhead was the headliner. So, you know, my old mates are up there jamming away. I went up, talked to them. They gave me a free CD. They had some of their old songs from Highway Child on there. I totally love their stuff. They just came out with a new album called The Key of Z, which this song Rockstar is on. And it was just featured on one of our most popular radio stations here in Chicago, The Loop. And they're playing this Wednesday at Mother's. Now, Mother's is it's a bar on Division Street in Chicago. So go check them out if you can. If you hear this podcast in time, go to Mother's August 23rd this Wednesday, and they're an awesome band. And Mother's, nobody really knows this too much. I didn't even know it that Eric Clapton played there when he was in Cream. The Velvet Underground and Chaka Khan has played there. Did you know that? Chaka Khan?
You're kidding.
Chaka Khan.
I got kicked out of a bar that Chaka Khan played
at? That's right. I did too, and I got a story about that. Yeah. Well, you've probably seen the Mothers in the movie About Last Night with Rob Lowe and Jim Belushi. You ever see that movie?
I did.
And Demi Moore?
And Jim Belushi did such a good job, I thought, boy, he's got to be an ass just like that in real life.
Jim Belushi?
Right, his character. Was such an ass.
Well, anyway, so far Mothers has hosted acts like Nick Olivari of Queens of the Stone Age and Ivan Neville's... Dumpsta Funk. Dumpsta Funk. I just can't get the street down, man. But anyways, if you can, check it out. I'm thinking about going this Wednesday.
All right. Mothers. Maybe a band field trip if we don't practice on Thursday.
They're fucking awesome.
I can swing that.
Kedro's known for playing like Yngwie Malmsteen on the bass. He plays like this really fast picking shit, and he's kind of mental.
Well, he was in prison for 6 years.
Yeah. Well, he used to sell guns and dynamite and stuff. Well, for real.
How did you?
I'm not kidding.
All right, then maybe it's true. How did you get kicked out of Mothers? Why?
Okay, some years ago, a bunch of us guys and some girls went down there to party because we used to hit that area and party all the time. And there was like 10 of us guys. And like five or six chicks. I can't remember.
That's a bad ratio.
I know, but it was like some guys were just there to pick up chicks. So it wasn't like, you know, they were with us. They were friends of ours. So they were picking up guys, whatever. So anyway, we're hanging out. And one of the guys turns to me. His name's Frank. And he talks like this. He says, "Hey, John. Our buddy over there, he's getting kicked out, and they're going to start hitting on him. We better get out of here." And he talks exactly like that. I said, "They're not going to do nothing, man. My grandpa's a lawyer." And the guy turns to me and goes, "You're out of here, too." And, okay, I said, "Fine, we're leaving." So we get up to leave, and I see them escorting the one guy that Frank was talking about. His name's John also. All of a sudden, I just see the bottoms of his shoes pointing towards the ceiling. And then I see about 15 fists just flying from the ceiling down onto him. So I go running, and there's a stairwell at the bottom there.
Right.
And they're at this bottom of the stairwell where nobody can do anything. So I run in there, and I grab this guy, and I pull him off of him. And this dude must have been the biggest fucking Italian I've ever seen in my life. Now, you know me, I'm like 300 pounds, right? Back in the day, I was about 180. This guy picked me up by my shirt and threw me into the wall, right into the wall at the base of the stairs. And he pulls back the fist and he goes, "You want some?" And I'm like, "Hey, dude, I'm just trying to get my buddy out of here." So I turn around and the guy who was getting wailed on, listen to me.
Wailed on, man.
He was getting wailed on, man. He was fucked up. He was already outside. I get outside, and, you know, they used to block the streets off back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he's covered in blood. He's wearing white pants and a white and purple striped shirt. And I look at my shirt, and it's all bloody, too. But I'm not bleeding. It's his blood that came off of the hands of the dude that grabbed me, who was punching him.
Mm.
So they end up handcuffing him and throwing him in the paddy wagon.
Him.
Yeah. Then a bunch of other buddies of mine start screaming at the cops and calling them rookie and stuff and fuck ups and losers and wannabe. Why don't you get a security guard job? Next thing you know, they're handcuffed and they're in the wagon too. So they all rode with me, so I got to go fucking pick them up. So I find a cop that seems to be cool, you know, because there's the good cop, bad cop thing going on. Find this dude. He's like, yeah, you can pick him up at the 5th precinct. It's at this such and such a location. I said, okay. So I go over there, and it must have been like 1 in the morning when this happened. We didn't get him out of jail till about 4.
Hmm.
And I said, we finally got him in the car. And we noticed the guy from Mother's coming out. So I flipped out. I like jumped out of the car. Motherfucker, I'm going to break your fucking legs.
The big Italian guy?
No, it was another dude that was part of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Italian guy and some other guys were off-duty cops.
Mm.
And this dude was a real legit bouncer that they brought over there to press charges against my friend, saying that he was the guy that assaulted him. And that's how it all panned out.
He assaulted his fists with his head?
Yeah.
What was the assault? Hey, look at my fists. They're all bloody.
I don't know.
He kept ramming his head into them.
I don't know, but I went off on this dude, and they're like, dude, calm down, man. Get back in the car. So yeah, we took off, and on the way home, I said, hey, I got a camera in the car with film. Let's take a picture of John. So I prop him up in front of a Jewel food store wall and take every you know,
angle.
Every angle I could of him, all bloody.
You still have
those? No.
Oh,
I gave him up as evidence to the state's attorney. So I had to go down after this was all done and go to court. And he begged me to go because he's like, you know, my other friends, they can't talk like you. The rest of them, they're kind of fucking idiots. And can you come with me and you know, state the case? And I said, sure.
So they can't talk like you. That's funny.
Yeah, that's kind of embarrassing, right? They must be really dumb. So, well, the one guy, Frank, he looks like this. Hey, it's the fucking broads, man. They're fucking us all up. What the fuck over by there? He talks. They all talk like that. So anyway, we get there and we got to talk to the state's attorney. And I show her the clothes and we show her the pictures and everything. And she's asking me, well, what I found out was that how this all happened was John apparently asked some chick to dance. And she said something like, like, I wouldn't fucking dance with you if you were the last fucking turd on this earth.
Turd.
And he's like, fuck you, whore.
Oh, that's not nice.
And I guess she went to kick him or something. And as he jumped back, he splashed his drink on her. And that's what started the whole bouncer thing.
Hmm.
So I'm like, well, that's nothing. They can't be beating you up because you did that.
Spilled the drink.
So I said to the assistant state's attorney, I said, hey, she's recalling this whole thing. And I said, well, wait a minute. Before you get any further, what justifies this guy getting beaten to a pulp? Look at the pictures. Just look at the pictures. He's beaten to a pulp and then arrested. And the guy who you have in here who's testifying against him, he's got nothing. He's got no pictures. He's got not one mark on him. So how is it this guy gets beaten like this by like 5 guys, and then my buddy's attorney freaks out? He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Dude, man, it's only one guy. We're not going to bring in all these other guys into the mix. And then I thought, wait a minute, something shady with this attorney that my friend has. Turns out he's an ex-Chicago cop. Now he's an attorney, And my buddy says, oh, he's the best attorney ever. Within about 10 minutes after that dissertation, the guy walks out and says, yeah, you're free to go, man. Wait a minute, free to go? What do you mean free to go? Well, apparently this attorney worked a deal for some money with the bar, allegedly. I don't know for sure, because originally some money was offered to John to just walk away. Why would they offer him money to walk away and just shut his mouth? So he said, no, I'm not taking it, man. Let's take me up on the stand. I want a jury trial. I want the whole thing, man. And his attorney walked away, walked up to the bench, talked to the other attorney, came back and said, okay, it's all done. What do you mean done? And he was supposed to file a civil suit against the bar, but never did.
Well, there you go. Yeah. He never followed through with the paperwork.
Yeah. So that's my story of mothers.
So he didn't get anything.
He got zilch.
The lawyer got it.
Zilch. Zippo. Nothing. And I never got my shirt back.
Well, my story isn't nearly as good as that, John. It's much shorter, too. Now, you got to go back in the day when now they have the push tops for beer.
Yeah.
Push. Remember when they had the pole tops?
Yeah, right.
So it was like a little ring with a little, and then right. It would, when you pulled it off, it would kind of curve a little
yeah.
bit. Yeah, so I had a paper clip. I put a paper clip in my ear with one of these hanging from it, like an earring, right? So I go into Mother's, and the bouncer's like, hey, man, you can't go in. Like everybody else I was with got to go in, but I couldn't go in. Why can't I go in? You can't. I don't like your earring. All right, I'll take it off. I don't care. You can't go in. So then
oh, what a fucking dick.
Then I have to stay and ask him, you know, I'm really interested in becoming a bouncer. What is the process? Do you have to go to college? Is there a lot of education involved? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you see yourself still here?
It's this you know, and, cocksucker.
And, yeah, and I keep just hammering on this guy for 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, he's probably like, geez, I should have let this motherfucker in. He's really bugging the shit out of me. And then I left, and I went and got a hamburger. That was my story.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. And then I never went back, ever, to their
yeah.
mothers.
Yeah.
No way are they going to get another draft beer out of me.
You know, it's funny, though. I left one part out. There's this guy, Dan, with us. And I know, I think you know who the guy is. I'll tell you off the air, because I don't want to say his last name. Because I think he's wanted by a Polish mafia or something. I've heard some stories about him. But we come out of there, and he actually used to be a model. He used to be like a Sears catalog model, you know, underwear and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we get out after everybody spills out into the street, and he's yelling at this big Italian guy's face. Why don't you fucking hit me now, you big fucking pussy? Come on! Pussy right in his face. And I'm going, oh my God. And the guy is just looking straight ahead. The big Italian dude looking straight ahead.
Like a 1,000-yard stare?
Like a 1,000-yard stare. No, he's not even looking at Dan, this guy Dan, while he's screaming in his ear. All he's saying every once in a while is, get this guy away from me. Can you get this guy away from me? Because this guy was ready to fucking sock Dan in the face so hard, and he just was trying to hold back as much as possible, and Dan was just going off. Come on, you fucking pussy! It was awesome. And here are my other buddies calling the cops rookies to their face. They got really pissed. But yeah, that was my night at Mother's.
All right, so this Wednesday night, August 22nd?
Yeah. It ain't like that anymore, though.
Go see Zipperhead.
Zipperhead at Mother's, August 23rd, that'd be
23rd,
Scott.
23rd, there you have it.
Yeah.
Very good with math.
Good band. They're really awesome. They really rock. I saw them at the Double Door. Anyway.
All right, John.
So what do we got? What else?
We got some politics. We got some W. Before we get into W, let me just tell you this one quick story. Get this, Arkansas. This is from the Arkansas Constitution, Article 19, Section 1. Atheist disqualified from holding office or testifying as witness.
What?
No person who denies the being of God shall hold an office in the civil department of the state, nor be competent to testify as a witness in any court.
We are becoming the laughing stock of the world, man.
No, come on. That's Arkansas, John. Oh, yeah, Arkansas. True.
Yeah.
No intellect is going on in Arkansas. All right, then. Moving on to W, I found this story. Why is George W. reading Camus? Have you heard this, John?
No.
On his summer vacation in Crawford, Texas, George Bush read Albert Camus' novel, The Stranger. I'm not sure what to make of
Can
this.
You
it's
read?
Usually college freshmen who suddenly take up the French existentialist slim volume.
And that's the truth.
And then usually go to impress some literature major with wavy hair. Perhaps it was an act of glasnost. Bush has spent much of his presidency dismissing the French, so now he regards... I'm sorry. Now he reads one of the country's literary heroes and
Vladimir
goes public
Putin.
About it. It's a novel steeped in philosophy, most notably Camus' existentialism, and delves into a not-so-subtle atheism.
Bullshit. He just carries it under his arm.
Get this, John. White House spokesman Tony Snow said Bush found it an interesting book and a quick read and talked about it with aides. I don't want to go too deep into it, John, but we discussed the origins of existentialism, said Snow. Yeah, right. I'd like to hear the W say existentialism.
I'm George
just
w.
once,
Bush.
John, just once.
I'm absolutely adamantly
opposed
to that.
Does his experience in Iraq push him to read works replete with thesis of angst, anxiety, and dread, John? Was the president trying to gain insight into the thinking of Europeans who are skeptical of his plan for democracy in the Middle East? Which is a big goddamn joke. Democracy is the farthest thing that's happened in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Did he just want to read something short for his truncated vacation? Well, John, if he did read that book...
Pick up a Dan Brown book, then.
I want to see the book report. Can you imagine a book report from the W? What that would be like? Well, actually, I did some of my research on my own. And
you did?
Yeah. There's another book. It's not by Albert Camus, spelled with a C. It's by Al Camus with a K. Camus, and it's called The Stranger, and if I could read from it. I think this is the book that the W had for his summer vacation.
All right, we have a read.
Let me open it up here. Story and Pictures by Sid Hoff.
I know that book.
Davy went to Africa. His father was going to catch an animal for the circus. Next page, John. Do you want a giraffe, said Davy? No, said Mr. Smith. How about a lion, said Davy? No, said Mr. Smith. Will an elephant do, said Davy?
Pardon me?
No, said his father. I'm sorry. What we want is a gorilla, said Mr. Smith. Some animals have all the luck, said the lion, the giraffe, and the elephant.
That's
Davy
a
couldn't
fact.
Wait to see a
That's
gorilla.
A fact.
He had never seen one. And it was very strange to him. Almost like a stranger. All right, I'll stop there.
So that's, I think...
I think that's the book that the W was reading. And I also checked into this. I found some other books on the W's list. So when he goes on vacation, he has a list of books that he gets and
Tom's
reads,
Dick is
right?
Harry.
Here's the list of books that the W read on the latest vacation. 101 Ways to Pull a Spoon Out of Your Ass. The second book, How to Fail at Everything and Still Be Arrogant. And the third book, Me Talk Good One Day. That was for the W. And then I found this other story. Increasingly, Bush escapes the media pack.
How?
On one of the scariest days yet in the 5-year battle with terrorists. Oh, yeah, and I have trouble with that first sentence. President Bush prepared to make a speech to reassure the American people, but the White House press corps was 1,000 miles away in Texas. Bush had left his ranch vacation and jetted north for a scheduled closed-door fundraiser. No press plane accompanied him, and so when news broke of Britain had broken a major terrorist plot. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The only ones there to convey the president's reaction were a handful of local reporters and a few pool journalists who ride in the back of Air Force One.
Hey, watch your mouth.
And so they go into all these long-winded explanations of why there's no media around Bush. And the reason there's no media around Bush is the guy's an idiot. He's a fucking moron. And so what do? They record the events that happen. They don't want them to, they do not want the media to record the W in all of his chimpness on a 24/7 basis. That's the reason they're not there. It's for goddamn ridiculous, John.
We're goddamn ridiculous.
Now, I brought some clips in. Let's get into the first set of clips. Now, this is the greatest news story ever in the history of the world, John. And this was on the Scarborough Report or something.
Okay.
And what happened is, and I caught this on Crooks and Liars, and I was able to download it and capture some of this stuff. And then when I went back, it was no longer there.
Oh.
Somebody had taken it off. I think you can find it on YouTube if you look.
Yeah.
And what it's called is Bush an Idiot? That's the name of the newscast. It's a news story by Scarborough. So the whole time they're doing this goes on for like 10 minutes.
Now, why would they take that off of Crooks and Liars?
I don't know. But the whole time, for 10 minutes, the story, and they're interviewing people, the whole time at the bottom of the screen, it says, "Is Bush an idiot?" with a question mark. And so Scarborough is asking other people, "Well, do you think he's a stupid? Do you think he's an idiot?" Now, John, you and I have been saying this since day one of the podcast.
Day one.
That this guy is an imbecile. He is overwhelmed, completely overwhelmed. And now let's go ahead and play the first clip here. This is Linda Ronstadt. Now, you remember the Dixie Chicks, they came out and said some crap about the W.
Yeah.
And here's Linda Ronstadt.
All right.
And it's not even her. It's Scarborough saying what Linda Ronstadt says. Go ahead and play clip one.
Ronstadt said this earlier. The Dixie Chicks said they were embarrassed he was from Texas. Well, I'm embarrassed George Bush is from the United States. The president is an idiot. He's enormously incompetent on both sides, on both the domestic and international scenes.
There you go. So a couple of words are going to repeat throughout this. Incompetent and overwhelmed.
All right.
All right. Now, now the second clip I had was just a compilation of Bush being stupid, but we've heard enough of that. So we can just go right on to the.
That means not tell the truth.
We can go right on to the third clip.
Okay.
This guy's name is John Fund, and he's from the Wall Street Journal, and he's going to stick up for the W. Let's hear what he has to say.
Now, John, it isn't just about Linda Ronstadt. I've heard Republicans and Democrats start saying this privately. Liberals and conservatives, heck, Frenchmen and friends alike, talk privately about George W. Bush, and they're saying what these music stars and rock stars are saying. That George Bush's lack of gravitas is hurting America at home and embarrassing us abroad. Is that a fair question to ask?
It's more than fair.
It's the wrong question. Look, George Bush wakes up every morning, and for the whole day, he arm wrestles the English language, and he often loses. He's inarticulate. That is not the same thing as being stupid. The inarticulate can often be shrewd, and the fluent can often be fatuous. I think one of the...
So he just has a failure. He cannot communicate well.
Well,
is that what you're telling me?
Voltaire once said that common sense is both rare and a lot more important to successful leadership than intelligence. And I agree. Here's the thing. The author of Bushisms, Jacob Weisberg, who's the liberal editor of Slate.com, he has plowed through almost everything George Bush has ever said. He concluded that Bush has a linguistic deficit, and he said that's no sign that there's any lack of mental capacity there.
Well,
so
there are two different
problems here. He's inarticulate, but he is not stupid. And I have to tell you, you know, as... Our foreign policy may be a little bit of trouble right now, but we're presiding over a nation with 4.8% unemployment and 2.5% inflation.
Okay.
Right. Wait a minute.
Stop that thing right
there. Now, what does that mean?
Well, here's the deal. First of all, he said...
Oh, that's all because of him, not because fucking people actually need a job. So they're looking for work.
Well, the first thing is people who can't speak or in his own words, wrestle with the English language.
Arm wrestle.
Are often shrewd, John. Often. And that's a bunch of crap. People who can't speak, the majority of people who can't speak well are stupid asses.
Well,
I used to be one of them. I couldn't speak well. I had horrible grammar, John. Horrible.
Mine's still bad.
But you're shrewd, aren't you, John?
No, I don't think so.
I'm just confrontational. I think that there are people who have trouble with the English language, and they are smart, but W is not one of them. And this often shrewd. No, that's a bunch of crap. And then the other thing, like what you pointed out at the end, the guys talk. We're talking about intelligence. The question is the W an idiot? And so he starts going on about Voltaire and all this crap, and then he says, hey, we got a 4.8% unemployment. What does that have to do with the W's intelligence? How could you possibly link? That's a greater stretch than linking Saddam Hussein to Osama bin Laden, John. That's a greater stretch.
And this is how stupid they are when they latch onto that figure. The 4%, the 4.8% unemployment is for people that continually go to the unemployment office and register for unemployment. They're not talking about the people that have finally lost out after their 18 months of run out of unemployment
throwing
money.
Throwing the towel in.
And they're, well, no.
They can't.
Not even throwing the
towel
in.
They don't even have the choice.
They don't have a choice. They're kicked out. Well, sorry, we're out of money. You've hit your deadline. You should have found a job by now. You're homeless. Sorry, fuck up. Now, I'm not saying that we need to pay more taxes so that somebody can live off of our dime, but at the same time, the politicians shouldn't use that bullshit excuse. Quit sending jobs, like, overseas, and that shit won't happen.
Right. Now, let's move on to the number four clip. Now, this is Lawrence O'Donnell. He's a political advisor. And here's a well-spoken man who doesn't want to come right out and say it, but I'll paraphrase for you. He thinks the W is an idiot. But just listen. Let's listen to what he has to say.
All right.
Democrats and liberals love to talk about how stupid Ronald Reagan was, and then this book came out of Reagan's letters, and they changed their opinion overnight. Do you think the same thing could happen with George W. Bush?
Well, boy, this guy is so easy to make fun of. I mean, possibly the easiest ever at this point. The prejudice against Reagan, Joe, was almost entirely the fact that he was an actor. There was a presumption that he's dumb because he used to be an actor. There wasn't any real overt evidence. That you couldn't run this kind of set of clips on Ronald Reagan. You just didn't get this kind of gaffe from him in a consistent basis. You know, I mean, John Fund wants to say the president is intelligent. I don't know the president. I don't know how you can make the judgment that he is intelligent without working very closely with him, because he doesn't make a lot of public exhibition of a dazzling intelligence. It just isn't there.
You know, Lawrence, it's interesting. If you look at clips of George Bush, though, when he was governor of Texas, he seems so much more confident. He seems so much more self-assured. And it's almost like the more he stumbles over his tongue, the more he realizes that he's maybe overmatched by the English language, and it seems he's losing confidence by the day. He's getting worse instead of better.
And this is something.
Even Scarborough, who's an ex-Republican Senator Joe Scarborough, they used to call him. Is it Joe?
I don't know. Joe or John.
He was a senator in Florida, and there's also a controversy tied to him where they found a dead intern in his office. a la, what was that other one?
Levy?
Levy, yeah. Very similar story. And he had a breakup with his marriage and stuff. And Joe, I think it's Scarborough. I know it's Scarborough. I just don't know if the first name's right from Scarborough's country. I couldn't stand the guy when he started talking religion, but when he talked about just the country and politics and stuff like that, he seemed pretty much right on. But when it came to religion, he was another one of those guys, war on Christmas and all that crap, like fucking O'Reilly, Mr. Falafel.
So even he is pressing the issue.
Yeah.
Here. So he must be a listener of our show, because what he mentioned there is something we mentioned last week, that when the W started out, he got away with it because he was so goddamn arrogant. And now that confidence is eroding in him.
It's gone.
And it's becoming so blatantly obvious that he's overwhelmed. And this Lawrence O'Donnell does a nice job of saying hey, look, you got to work with the president to really make that judgment. But what he was saying is, I haven't seen any intellect
right.
whatsoever. But if I worked with him on a daily basis, I'd be able to tell you for sure that he was stupid.
Yeah, let's talk about how great he was as a governor in Texas. They went from a surplus to a $10 billion deficit, and still counting.
Everything this guy touches is a failure. If he would watch Seinfeld and do what George Costanza did that one episode, where he would make up his mind and then do the opposite,
yeah,
then we'd be okay. Because he's so goddamn overwhelmed. It's unbelievable.
Stupid.
So we have one more clip here. And Lawrence O'Donnell, I think he's a listener of our show as well, because He just says what we said, we've been saying for a year. Go ahead and play that last
clip. It looks like he's overmatched by the job. It looks like he's overwhelmed by it, and it's just out of his league, especially ever since Katrina. From Katrina onward, his imagery feeds a level of incompetence that is very unusual. And so everything he does now, he's allowed no margin of error on these kinds of gaffes now, whereas if he'd had a bunch of real policy successes to point to, and if Iraq was a real policy success, that guy could fall down everywhere
he went, and nobody's taking it.
Absolutely, man. If Iraq came out as exactly how he predicted it, he could jerk off in front of the TV cameras every day, and he would still be regarded as a hero.
Well, you mean when he said mission accomplished 3.5 years ago?
He's a complete nincompoop.
Yeah, he's unbelievably stupid, and they give Karl Rove all this these accolades, but this is the guy really. Him and Dick Cheney are pulling the strings here, and these guys are complete failures at everything. Yeah. Everything they touch, and they got this monkey to be their the go to guy is the face of America, and it's just so goddamn embarrassing.
Well, they're actually the ones pulling the strings. They have been since Nixon. Since the end of Nixon. Rumsfeld and Cheney have been in there since then.
Yeah. It's just horrible. Horrible.
We got another phone message, did I tell you?
Hold on. Before you get to that phone message, we got a lot more W. A lot more W. Another W clip. Do you have that ready? And this is about the wiretapping.
What's it called?
I don't know. It was one of the latest emails I sent you. It says W's latest is the name of the email. I can't remember what I called the clip. Maybe W dummy. I called it
W dummy.
Dummy. you got to have this clip.
Can you read a little before I get
Yeah,
to
I can read it.
I got to locate it.
Anyway, what happened here is Bush was wiretapping everybody. He decided he's going to wiretap everybody, even though the Constitution, the First and the Fourth Amendments say you can't do this kind of crap. He's going to do it because we need to know if Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States. So in a latest judicial rebuke of the Bush administration tactics against terrorism, a federal judge in Detroit ruled Thursday that warrantless wiretapping of U.S. citizens violates the Constitution and federal law. The decision is an embarrassment. I can't even believe that the W can even knows what embarrassment is. So I don't even know how that affects him. But it is also should be a source of shame for Congress. 8 months ago, the New York Times reported that the National Security Agency was monitoring the international phone calls and email messages of some Americans without obtaining a court order as required by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Several proposals for reining in the NSA operation were offered, but none of them were enacted before members of Congress left town for the summer. So then the judge came around and she said, hey, it's illegal. So the W has been breaking the goddamn law, John, breaking the law.
As usual.
And if the Democrats had control of the Congress, we'd be going through impeachment right now. And this guy wouldn't have a leg to stand on. He'd be goddamn impeached. So what I'm wondering, John, is if the Democrats take over after these latest round of elections, will they start going after this guy? He's breaking the law.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
So what does the W do, John? What does he do?
What does he do?
He says that the foes of wiretaps just do not understand, John. They don't understand.
They don't understand.
And I'll let the W say it if you find the clip. W say it himself. And get back and be prepared to listen to the latest W speak here, because it's just insane. It's
like double speak, W speak. All right, here we go.
How do you respond, sir, to opponents who say that this ruling is really the first nail in the coffin of your administration's legal strategy in the war on terror?
I would say that those who herald this decision simply do not understand the nature of the world in which we live.
What?
You might remember last week, working with the great with people in Great Britain, we disrupted a plot. People were trying to come and kill people. this country of ours is at war, and we must give those who are whose responsibility is to protect the United States, the tools necessary to protect this country in a time of war.
The tools.
The judge's decision was a, I strongly disagree with that decision, strongly disagree. That's why I instructed the Justice Department to appeal immediately. And I believe our appeals will be upheld. I made my position clear about this war on terror.
You did?
About this war on terror.
And by the way, the enemy made their position clear yet again when we were able to stop them.
Oh, my God.
And the American people expect us to protect them.
Not you!
And therefore, I put this
protect
program in place.
Protect who? The terrorists?
We strongly believe it's constitutional. And if Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States, we want to know why they're calling.
Why?
And so I made my position clear. It would be interesting to see what other policymakers, how other policymakers react. Listen, thank you all very much.
Now, I'm not a policymaker, but here's how I react. When you were president, you took an oath to uphold the Constitution, you a-hole. And you disregarded the First and Fourth Amendment to carry off this warrantless wiretapping crap. And now that they call him on it, what's he going to do? He's going to try to appeal it and change the Constitution.
Yeah.
Because of this war. And we just don't understand, John. We just don't understand. We need to give up all our freedoms.
Right.
So that we can fight terror. What a bunch of crap.
I know. It's fucked up. Well, what cracks me up is a couple of things. Well, it's kind of sickening, but one is the fact that there's a war on terror. Like I've said before, the war on drugs. Why don't you have a war on murder? A war, you know, it's a war on a word. There's no government. There's no, you know, no military that they're going after. And the people that actually discovered this terror plot, supposedly, the supposed terror plot, was cops, regular policemen.
Right.
Investigative policemen, not a fucking bunch of bunker buster bombs.
Investigative work, John.
Investigative
work. Good old-fashioned investigation.
Because that's what it's down to. Wiretapping phones, you got to figure, if I was a terrorist, even as numbskull as I am, and I was some sort of a terrorist, I would figure already, they're already tapping the phones. I'm not going to use a phone. I'm going to use the internets. I'm going to use Skype because it's encrypted. I'm not going to use a telephone. I'm not going to use a cell phone. And if I do use a cell phone, it's the kind that you can throw out.
John, you just don't understand the world we live in.
I don't think the W understands the world we live in.
The W doesn't understand the goddamn room he's in. Stupid ass.
Oh, my God.
I got a couple more. You want me to get the door before we can bring Phil in?
Because
just,
I don't
want
to listen to the fucking ring over and over again.
All right,
what
I'm going.
What the fuck is this
problem?
Jesus Christ. God damn it.
Going.
Stop bringing the fucking door.
It's a long walk. Hey, man.
Hey, what's up? Lockstep, come on back. Run, Scott, run.
I'm back. Phil's still coming
back. All right,
back.
Phil.
I got a couple more things before we turn it over to Phil McCracken Whitcomb here at TTN. He brought his own glass tonight.
Yeah, what's up with that? All right, Phil, just sit there and be quiet.
All right, I got a couple more things, Phil. You okay? All right, he winked at me.
Do you
want to
play
John.
This phone message from beyond?
No, not yet.
All right.
Not yet,
all
John.
All right.
Now, more than a week after the U.S. and U.K. announcements that the alleged terror plot to blow up commercial airlines flying from Britain to the U.S. has been foiled, the official claims are unraveling, John. Authorities have been unable to provide any concrete evidence to back up the story.
What?
That police raids and mass arrests in Britain thwarted an imminent attack.
What?
That would have taken the lives of thousands of transatlantic travelers.
Come on.
What
well,
the fuck?
Let's see. They didn't have passports. They didn't have tickets. They didn't have explosives. All they had was this idea.
What's funny?
This stupid idea. That's it. An idea. And that's what all this hullabaloo is
what
about.
What the fuck?
No doubt. And one last thing. The U.S. government decided to take an experiment to see what people say right before they get into an auto accident. 89% of the
holy
people
shit!
In 49 states said, oh, shit! You're right, John. In Texas, 94% said, hold my beer! Watch this! All right. Now, we did get one other phone message. Somebody, I think from the grave, called in.
Yeah.
To our Skype line.
To talk to us.
To talk to us. And to tell us about the current Bush regime.
And we need to do something
about
it.
We need to do something. So let's listen to this latest message.
I'm trying to talk for you guys. You better start thinking. It's getting to be goddamn ridiculous. If you guys don't start thinking as men, we're going to have a lousy country. Jesus, I have had the chance to be with guys who are with things and against things. And you know, Christ, you try as I try as a human being to listen to both sides of everything. But there's no both sides anymore. They're just trying to wreck our goddamn country. It's time for you younger guys to take over. I don't know.
That'd be me and you, John.
That's right.
The younger guys.
They want us to take over and fix it.
Fix it.
And that's what we're trying to do.
We're trying to open
educate
up people's eyes and educate. Educate. That's the key, John.
It's nonsense. Total talk nonsense.
Total talk nonsense.
You gotta fight fire with fire.
That's right.
Nonsense with nonsense. And that's what we do. All right.
All right then.
What the fuck you waiting for? Bitch, start sucking.
Did you hear they stole the W?
They stole them?
Yeah.
Man, who the fuck just steals a monkey?
I don't know, man. I didn't hear that. Was that on the BBC?
You know, you pay tax to... there's some big shit going on in the forum, man. Between, I think, Poet and Stefan C. About the BBC, about the whole tax thing.
No, I think Stefan C. just had the original post, and then Poet went off, but somebody else got involved. I don't think Stefan C.
Paulie B., I think, jumped in.
Stefan C., yes.
Yeah.
Paulie B. jumped in, somebody else jumped in.
I thought maybe I should jump in, but, you know, what am I going to say about it? I don't live there.
Yeah, you don't know shit.
Although
UK TV.
If I was there, I would probably agree that, yeah, it seems to be unbiased, the BBC, because they have certain agents that are governors that are supposed to oversee it and make sure that it's not politically biased. But on the other hand, you're holding a gun to my head to make me pay this tax to put an antenna on top of my roof and also make me pay for cable. So why not just ask me to pay for it as, you know, if I want it, I pay for it, just like cable, or just like if it's going to be like public broadcasting, I can donate to it.
Here's what I don't understand, John. It seems that the guys from the UK get their panties in a bunch over this, but they don't get their panties in a bunch over royalty and that whole monarchy and that whole crap, that garbage, keeping that family alive and in power. In power, yeah. What power?
Yeah, I don't understand a monarchy.
Keep paying for their lifestyle. What is that all about? That's a bunch of crap. Paulie B. gave an explanation. He said it's tourism. That's their number one income is tourism, and that people come to see the royals.
Yeah.
That's a crap to that.
Well, you know, it's basically their Hollywood.
Yes, you said that last week.
It's their Hollywood,
yes.
Yeah. And our Hollywood is our royals.
Our royals.
Because we pay a lot of fucking money to see snakes on a plane. What is it, $9 now?
$9.25, John, $9.25.
And what did I say before? I don't see a movie unless it's over $100 million. And you said, well, what about a comedy?
Right.
It cost $100 million to make it. Because that was my... getting out of seeing the chick flick.
Just say it's a chick flick.
Yeah.
Be done with it. Who's here now?
Oh, that's right.
Maybe that was somebody playing Ding Dong Ditch. Because Phil's sitting right next to me. Pull it together, man.
Now I got a headache. Oh, my God. Oh. That's pretty funny.
Should we turn it over to Phil?
You might want to check the door. Maybe there's like a burning bag with dog shit in it.
Nah, we'll let the house burn down.
Great. All right, yeah, it's time to turn it over to Phil. You ready, Phil?
How are we doing on time? How much time does Phil have?
We're at 49.
49? All right, then.
Don't you have a watch, man?
No.
You ever think about using one of those?
I should.
All right.
Now, with your award-winning TPN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And our first story tonight. You can still F it and fuck it. You just can't marry it.
What?
Partners wanting to tie the knot in the Thai paradise island of fuck it will have to wait a while or find another venue after the main city ran out of marriage certificates. An official from Mang Fuck It Registration Department said Thursday that they used their last certificates 2 weeks ago and have since been able to wed any couples.
Is it fuck it or fuck it?
It's fuck it. P-H-U-K-E-T. Fuck it. I have no idea why the Central Registration Department has not sent them yet. It may have a production problems, or maybe they are changing to an online system, she said. The official said that each month more than 100 people get married in Fuck It City, the main town on the popular Adaman Island. Next story, John.
Wait a minute. I thought that Judgmental was on Punky's show.
Next story, John. That was my... Thai. It wasn't Japanese. It was Thai. Man's head run over by freight train after he uses rails as a pillow. You'd think this guy would have learned this lesson when a train ran over his legs in 1999. But as Forrest Gump says, stupid is as stupid dies. Next story, John. Man tells police he had no idea why he was shot in the face. Might have had something to do with the fact that he stayed up all night smoking crack. A Pinewood Avenue man testified, but he has no idea why Devin King showed up at his house and shot him in the face. Charges against King of attempted first-degree murder and aggravated assault were bound to the grand jury after hearing in General Sessions Court. King remains held in the county jail on the same bond. He is also having to serve a prior sentence for domestic assault. Next story, John.
Hello, cutie pie.
Latest trend catching on among pretards is ghost riding, i.e. jumping in and out of a car that they're driving. Your headless corpse better not land on my lawn. Next story, John. Breast implants save Israeli woman's life in Hezbollah rocket attack. An Israeli woman's breast implant saved her life when she was wounded in a Hezbollah rocket attack during Israel's war with the Lebanese group, a hospital spokesman said on Tuesday. Doctors found shrapnel embedded in the silicone implants just inches from the 24-year-old's heart. She was saved from death, said a spokesman for the Nadira Hospital in northern Israel. The woman has been released from the hospital. Next story, John. One-third of Scottish youth lose virginity before the age 16. Other two-thirds are the world's best at playing their bagpipes. Next story, John. Inmate commits suicide by toilet paper. An inmate death at the Kirkland Correctional Institute of Columbia has been ruled a suicide. Howard Melton, age unavailable, suffocated himself by stuffing toilet paper in his mouth with his nostrils and his nostrils. Richard County Deputy Coroner Ted Kennedy said... Officers found Melton unconscious in his cell at 4:45 a.m. Friday during an inmate count. He was pronounced dead at 6:10 a.m., Kennedy said. Melton was serving a one-year sentence for conviction of a lewd act on a child, John. The case was from Spartanburg County. Kennedy said officials found no evidence that Melton was killed by someone else. Next story, John. Bush says Israel has defeated Hezbollah. Pardon me? Just like the U.S. military accomplished its mission in Iraq. Next story, Don.
Holy shit.
What's worse, getting shot in the groin? The police showing up a few minutes later and tasing you.
Oh.
All right, let me try that again. What's worse than getting shot in the groin? The police showing up a few minutes later and tasering you, John. Police are investigating a shooting Thursday evening in South Wichita that left a 26-year-old man with a gunshot wound in the groin.
Oh.
The shooting happened at 7:30 p.m., and Captain Ken Atnip said the victim refused repeated commands to raise his hands to where officers could see them, Atnip said. So an officer used a taser to subdue the man. He was taken to Vi Christian Medical Center at the St. Francis campus where he continued to refuse to cooperate with police. Next story, John. Boy George picking up garbage all day in Lower Manhattan. Local TV station is there. Stay tuned because more is to come a come a come a come a come a chameleon. Next story, John. Japanese company claims to have invented chewing gum that enhances breast size. Proposed name is Double D Mint. A Japanese company claims to have developed a 100% natural chewing gum able to increase the size, shape, and firmness of a woman's breast naturally. The main ingredient, a wild plant called Pururi Marifica, grows in Thailand and contains a number of natural compounds called Festotestrogens, which mimic the effects of a female sex hormone estrogen. Tests carried out by the Thailand Chulalongkorn University found Paramefefica was able to enhance breast size by 80%, John. Further tests carried out in England found the plant also had a beneficial effect on the skin and hair, as reported by the BBC, medical journals, and other news outlets. Next story, John. Terrorists kidnapped two Fox journalists in Gaza City. Unfortunately, Geraldo was not one of them. Next story, John. German thieves used the old standby. Here. Let me help you clean that feces off your body. Trick. While pickpocketing some poor sap. Thieves in Germany stole $9,000 from a man by throwing feces at him from behind and then pickpocketing him while they pretended to help him clean up the mess. After withdrawing 8,000 euros from a bank on holiday, the man was struck in the back of the neck by what he described as human feces. Police of the central town of Gissen said, immediately afterwards, two large women came up to him from behind and claimed they had seen someone excreting down the street from above. Police said in a statement, the two women then began briskly wiping the filth from the man's clothing and paper towels they had with them. They were soon joined by a third man who also came bearing paper towels. Only when the man went to take his foul-smelling trousers to clean did he notice that 7,500 euros or $9,000 had been taken from his back pocket by one of the would-be helpers. Next story, John. A woman's sex drive begins to plummet when she is in a secure relationship, according to research conducted by almost every married man on the planet. Next story, John. Muslims display cartoons of the Holocaust. Confused when Jews don't riot in the streets. More than 200 Holocaust cartoons from around the world are on display at the museum in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Organizers of the exhibition say they are testing the West's commitment to freedom of speech. A competition to choose the drawings for was announced in response to caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad, published by European newspapers. Israel's Holocaust authority, Yad Vashem, criticized the exhibition, calling it a flashing red light. The drawings were chosen from nearly 1,200 entries received from various countries, including the United States, Indonesia, and Turkey. One of the cartoons shows the Statue of Liberty holding a book of the Holocaust in one hand and giving a Nazi salute in the other. Next story, John. The son apologizes to Prince Harry for making a right tit of himself. I'm sorry. The son apologizes to Prince Harry for making a right tit of itself. A Sun newspaper has been forced to apologize to Prince Harry after accusing the 20-year-old of cheating on his Zimbabwean girlfriend with the right breast of a blonde aspiring television presenter. The fun-loving prince was pictured on the Sun's front page on Tuesday, squeezing the enviable corded orb of Miss Natalie Pinkman under the screaming headline, Dirty Harry. The newspaper predicted grim consequences for the young prince's long-standing relationship with the Zimbabwean student, Chelsea Davy. But after a day of controversy, the Sun issued an apology from publishing the photographs, which it had claimed were taken only weeks ago at a notorious London nightclub, Bijou's. Clarence House, household of the Prince of Wales and his progen, won the concession after demonstrating that the pictures were several years old and that Prince Harry's all-drinking, all-groping night out actually happened 3 years ago when he was an unattached man, albeit a barely legal one. The prince is said to be furious over the publication of the pictures, which are taken in the autumn of 2003 when he was 18, before his relationship with Miss Davy began. Next story, John.
I know what you're thinking, punk. You're thinking, did he fire 6 shots or only 5?
Bill Clinton endorses circumcision for preventing the spread of AIDS. Making your...
I heard he gets a lot of tips.
All right, I'll start over again. Bill Clinton endorses circumcision for preventing the spread of AIDS, making your firemen look bigger. Next story, John.
I heard he gets a lot of tips, though, right?
Right. Man dismayed that he will have to decide which of his two penises he gets to keep. An Indian businessman born with two penises wants one of them removed surgically as he wants to marry and lead a normal sexual life. The 24-year-old man from the northern state of Uttar Pradesh admitted himself to a New Delhi hospital this week with an extreme rare medical condition called penile duplication.
Oh.
Or diphallus.
Double dick?
Diphallus.
D-D-D?
Two fully functional penis is unheard of even in medical literature. In the more common form of diphallus, one organ is rudimentary.
A newspaper quoted a surgeon as saying, the surgery was expected to be challenged as both organs were well-formed and full blood supply. So the retained penis had to be insured to allow it to function normally, he added. There are about 100 such reported cases of diphallus around the world, and it is known to occur among 1 in 5.5 million men, the newspaper said. Next and last story tonight, John.
Hey, Phil. Did you hear about the guy with the 5 penises?
I did not.
His pants fit like a glove.
Oh, that's funny, John. Teen guilty of assault after penis stunt. A Waterloo teenager was sentenced to 60 days in custody yesterday after admitting in a golf court he tried to hit two other boys at a youth treatment center in the face with his penis. It's a maneuver known around the facility as a helicopter.
I thought it was called the dreaded dick slap.
It's called the helicopter at this facility. The 16-year-old had been charged with 2 counts of sexual assault but pleaded guilty to a reduced charge of common assault. Last December 19th, the two victims were lying on their beds at the Ported Center near Ellora when the teen came in. He removed his penis from his pants and while holding it, tried to strike the victims. He did not make contact with either boy. And that's the news, y'all.
All right. All right, thanks again, Phil, for coming by and delivering the news.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Scott, for sitting next to me. And it's always great to sit next to you when I come over.
I thought you were sitting on his lap.
No, I'm sitting over at the Lazy Boy?
The Lazy Boy.
The Lazy Boy, right opposite of Scott.
All right, man. Well, it's good
I noticed you shaved, Scott. You got rid of the goatee. I
that
thought
wasn't
that was
a
very
goatee.
Admirable. It was a, I don't know
it was
what
like
that
a
was.
Spider monkey wrapped around his
spider
face.
Monkey. Well, you look very charming and handsome right now, I must say that.
He looks like Lars Ulrich. And I forgot to talk about that today. I watched Some Kind of Monster again.
Oh, the documentary?
Yeah.
Have you seen that, Phil?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm a news man, so I try to stay on top of things with CNN, Reuters,
of
course.
All right, okay, bye-bye.
And things like that.
All right, see you later.
All right, then. All right. I'll be going.
All right.
Great to be here. I had a good time.
See you later. All right, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Thick wad.
Wow.
All right.
Anyway, I was saying I saw some kind of, was that what it's called? Some kind of monster, the...
Right.
The documentary. And I studied Lars again to say, okay, I waited till the part where he sells all his paintings. And I'm waiting for the, fuck, you know, the fuck.
Right, right.
He never does that.
Sure,
man.
He does, man.
Not. He does
that. And I was like, fuck.
No, he did.
He did.
So I'm analyzing. I'm like, wow, that's how Scott sees Lars. And I see Lars as, you know, James, you know, maybe I don't want to be in the band anymore, James.
You ever think about that?
Yeah, he's like a whiny baby, man. Oh, my God. I watched that and I was like, James Hatfield is definitely the coolest dude in the band. Whereas Kirk Hammett is just quiet and like, what the fuck? Why don't these two losers get their shit together?
Right. Let me just play guitar.
Yeah. Lars is whining through the whole thing. And then they asked him that question about Napster. How do you feel about that whole Napster thing? Oh, how do I feel about being the most hated man in rock and roll? It was great. I loved watching that again. And if they just would have got a bass player at the beginning of the fucking movie, they wouldn't have had to go through that whole bunch of bullshit. It was because they fired Jason Newsted that they had to go through that whole thing. Because they had no bass player. So
right.
they had to use this clown, whoever, the road manager or something, to play bass. And then brought in a therapist. And Newsted is like, you know, I don't have a family. So I don't have, what do I do with my spare time? I'm going to start another band and just goof around. And hey, it's taken off. And what's his name? James Hatfield got all jealous because he was having sex with another girl. You know, basically.
Right.
And maybe that sex is better than our sex.
Right.
So fuck him, man. Go do your own thing. And Jason's like, fine, fuck it. You know, I'm playing music. I don't want to sit around with this whack job psychiatrist.
And Lars.
And Lars whining.
Because fuck.
Fuck. He was drunk on champagne, man. He got a lot of money for those paintings, though.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Anyway, that's all the time we got this week. We're past our limit. We're over an hour seven.
Whoa. That's the longest heavy metal episode in a long time, John.
Ever. So we're going to go out with I'm a Bum from Zipperhead.
Nice.
So we're John and Scott. I'm John.
And see them Wednesday at
Mother's.
Mother's in
and
Chicago.
Don't forget to check out our gear on Cafe.
In our gear, yeah.
Cafe Press.
In our gear.
And call us.
Hey,
on,
and when's Airwolf going to Skype in and
I
be
don't
on
know.
The show?
I don't know.
And we got to get Stefan back on.
That's right.
Because he's a very educated man, John.
Oh, yeah, no
and,
doubt.
And we didn't even scratch the
I
surface.
Know. He's a scientist.
Of the great Stefan.
He's a real scientist.
All right, then.
All right, we're out of here.
Later.
Thanks for listening.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.